This is War Room Moments, the show that takes you around the world to share interviews with some of the most successful and most relevant people on the planet, hear their stories, and get the most important business lessons they have learned on their road to success, and get exclusive advice on how to implement their success into your life and business. War Room Moments is brought to you by the Strategic Advisor Board. Here's your host, Jason Miller.
All right. Hey, folks, welcome to another episode in the War Room again today with a fantastic young lady from Florida. So honored to have you on the show, and I'm sure we're going to get a lot of really good tips and tricks and things through your story as we maneuver through that and learn about you. It's nice to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'm grateful.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, so I always say I'm horrible at introducing people, which I absolutely am. I know my own shortfalls. So why don't you give the audience just a little bit of information about who you are and what your superpowers are?
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate anybody who's willing to listen right now. Your time is, you know, important. It's the one thing we have here on planet Earth. So my name is Leela Veronica, and I'm a coach, and I help mostly coaches and consultants and speakers and service providers create, sell, and market high-end offers to high-end clients. And my intention, my superpower, my, you know, special sauce is to help people own their worth in the world and feel more valued. And I do that through coaching.
Yeah, very cool. Good stuff. It's a need in the market, no doubt, for sure. Especially for, well, not just new people, but even old dogs too, right? So old dogs can learn new tricks.
I work with old dogs too.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, Leela, I love to kind of kick the show off with, you know, I don't do a lot of Q&A stuff because we want to learn through your journey here, but let's rewind all the way back to when you were a kid. And do you come from a family of entrepreneurs?
I do not.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what did your folks do for a living when you were growing up?
Yeah, I'm actually the first one to have a college degree.
Oh, cool.
In my family. And I have multiple degrees. And I grew up with a single mom who would pool together money, whether it be waitressing, babysitting, cleaning houses, working at a thrift store, really just whatever she could find, you know, a low wage job. She got married when I was 10. I got a stepdad who adopted me. And him and that whole family primarily were iron workers and millwrights, and they did a lot of the building of automotive industry in America. So tough men, tough, strong men who built things. And my mom comes from a real small farm town, and she never felt like she could do much. So she would take low paying jobs her whole life. And a lot of the other women in the family didn't work as well. So they worked in the husbands worked in factories or building stuff mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. I mean, I have a lot of that in my family too, my folks were both entrepreneurial, but like all my uncles, and they worked on the rigs. My dad worked on the rigs even in the wintertime when he wasn't farming. So, you know, I understand that dynamic of growing up, and, But I always felt like there was something more. Obviously, you must have too, because you're here today. And so what, how did that journey kind of shake out from you as a kid?
If you were to ask my younger brother, he would say, he tells stories about me selling Cheetos on the playground.
That's awesome.
I
That's
was
awesome.
always hustling. Before there was a side hustle and a side gig, I had them.
That's awesome.
I remember getting in trouble in middle school for selling blow pops at school. Light trouble, not big trouble, but just talk to a little bit. I remember I bought this little nail painting set, and I would do my friends' nails at like homecoming and prom in high school. I got a job my 16th birthday. I remember what I wore and everything. I knew exactly where I wanted to work. I went there, got the job. I was a waitress, hustled. Back then in the 90s, I was making about $100 a day, waitressing at this little place that was I was a car hop at the root beer stand. And just making dollar tips here and there for hot dogs and root beer, but I would hustle, and even though waitressing might be working for somebody else, you're kind of working for yourself in a way because you can dictate how much you make depending on how fast you are, how nice you are, how funny you are, and then I got into some network marketing companies with products years ago, as same thing, just as a side hustle, just to make a few extra dollars. And then I left. I was in academia. I used to teach environmental policy at Ohio State University. And then I left all that, got into yoga, kind of a mid quarter life, I don't know, third of life, challenges, got me into yoga. And I decided I wanted to share all this, awesome awareness body stuff with the world, try to start a business, and realized it was kind of hard. And I found myself
Imagine
at,
that, right?
oh my
Imagine
gosh, right? Like
that,
you're like, I'm
right?
gonna share this with the world.
Yeah,
And I found myself working five different small side gig jobs to pull all the bills together. And I remember one day I was actually I was packing panties in a warehouse
wow.
in Denver for a young woman who had started a panty membership club where you pay a certain number of dollars, you get two panties a month in the mail. So I'm packing two panties of in a box, two panties in a box, two panties in a box. And I look around at all these women doing it, and I'm like, I'm a PhD packing panties. What the heck am I doing? I just had this like moment of like, this is so hard. And I just put it out to the universe or the air or whatever it is. And I said, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. Show me the way. I'll follow the breadcrumbs. And within about 3 weeks, I met a coach. About 3 weeks after that, I hired her. And that year I had made 5,000 in my business. And then the following year I made 142.
Nice.
Yeah. And I've been able to like, to grow and help other people grow and implement what I've done and everything since. But what I would say is it's one thing to have a job and have a side gig just to for extra money. It's a whole nother thing to have a full-time business if that's what you do,
Well, that's amazing. I mean, when you think about all the pivots in there, right? I mean, holy crap, that's like a pivot nightmare. But, well, not I'm nightmare is not the right word, because there's so many lessons to be learned and taken from that whole experience that, small business is hard. It's not easy. And a lot of people want to do it, or they try to do it. There's a reason why 93% of startups fail. And a lot of it is we're not built that way. We are originally from being hunter-gatherers back when we were cavemen, right? We were then, But then we got programmed out of that to be employees. That's a whole nother conversation. you know, you got to go through the hard knocks a little bit too. I mean, you look at, I mean, behind every success story is probably 100 train wrecks, right?
Yeah,
So,
lots of tears.
yeah, lots of tears, lots of money spent that did nothing. I mean, Jesus, boy, don't I know that.
Yep.
Probably spent millions of dollars in the last 2 or 3 years on marketing campaigns and stuff just to find out that I won't name them, but we all know the search engine. It's just sending robot traffic, right? So, you know, and those are the kind of hits small businesses can't take, really, you know.
Yep, I've been just in that area and found the same thing.
Yeah, it's, I kind of figured you probably had.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's a plight, no doubt. But people continue to do it because they don't know where to turn, right? So it's like, you know, and I suspect you're a lot like me as you collaborate really well to create JV partnerships and things like that. I don't know if I'm right, but I think I kind of read that from you. That you're very much like that. Because you probably wouldn't still be around if you weren't knowing your story to where you are today. So,
I'm a natural connector. I can't help it. You know, I
yeah,
just
right.
sometimes I think half of the time I'm spending in my weeks are connecting people that have nothing to do with my business, but I know I'm just naturally wired that way, and I know that it all goes around, you know. And my doctoral research was on collaborative decision making. And so it's just something that I see the benefit when two or more are gathered, we rise in, exponentially. And so I love that. I mean, if anybody's out there struggling, don't do it alone. I think that's one of the biggest challenges for anybody who's starting out in business, or even a little bit further along and not doing well, if they're still trying to do it all alone. And if you talk to anybody who's successful, they haven't done it alone. I mean, they've had, partnerships, collaborators, a team, some sort of support system to help them. And that was by far, like I said, I hired this coach and she helped me. And she was with me for several years, and I've had tons of coaches and mentors and advisors and all the things over the years. At this point now, I've been in business for about 10 years, and if it wasn't for those people helping me out. And even now, I'm in a group of people that are really lighting a fire under me. And I surround myself with those kinds of people so that I thrive. I want to grow,
Yeah.
non consistently and exponentially. And so it's the people. It's, there's that book, Who Not How.
The
And I
second
really,
time I've heard that title in the last 2 days.
goodness. Yeah. So that's been, I would say, for anybody who's really wanting to succeed in business, it's start asking the questions of who, not how.
Yeah, it's interesting too, the whole island mentality, right? Of, you know, and I know a lot of business owners because I mean I own a major consulting firm, so I understand and I hear it or see it all the time. You know, people need the assistance, yet they just continue to live on the island. And it's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's pride, if it's arrogance, if it's what it is, but it's something.
Well,
And, you know.
I think entrepreneurs are naturally wired to be independent people. When people ask me, like, why do you have a business? I go, because I don't want to be told what to do.
Yeah, that's
It's the first thing. I mean, yeah, I got into it to help people and all that. Of course, I'm going to help people. And that's just my operating system. But like, literally, I mean, I could help people in a job, but I don't want to be told what to do. I don't like to be told what to do at all. by anybody. Now, if I hire you, you tell me what to do all day. I'll take it, you know?
Yeah, right.
But I think we're just naturally wired to be in very independent types. And so
Yeah.
it's a pattern we have to break to like really, even I do sometimes when I have, you know, people that are that know more than me in a certain area, I have to really like soften and relax into receiving that information instead of being a know-it-all. My best friend and accountability partner and colleague, we always talk about how like we're recovering know-it-alls, you know? So I think entrepreneurs are just kind of wired to be independent.
I like that.
Yeah.
Don't be a recovering know-it-all. That's funny. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, gosh, there's just a there's a lot of takeaways in all of that for sure, but you know, I kind of want to hit some like real strategic points
Yeah.
and get some of that from you because I think there's a lot there to talk about, but if you just had a few, let's just say you had a few go-to pieces of advice that you could give a young entrepreneur or tell even an old dog, doesn't matter, right? To miss an arrow or two, what'd be some great pieces of advice you'd love to share to the world?
Well, number one is the people part is find the people who can help you. Be willing to let go of the ego, the pride, and all that, and ask for help. Like there's no judgment when you ask for help. People love to give you ideas too. And if somebody knows something and you ask them, they love to help you. They love to tell you. And so people aren't stingy with their ideas. Use people in your life if you want to thrive. Like they're your building blocks to your success. So that would be for sure the first thing. The second thing would be take care of your body.
It's a good
Take care
one.
of yourself. I believe the way you take care of your body is the way you take care of your bank account.
It's a lot of truth in that one.
Yeah, and if you value yourself, your body, you know, your health, other people will value you. They'll feel that. Even if they don't know what it is, they'll feel that. So take care of yourself. If you don't have time to go to the gym or do yoga or exercise or something, you need to go to the gym and do exercise, okay? Like if you think you don't have time, you need to go double. So take care of yourself. Make the time. Don't start that work day or end that work day without getting some sort of whatever it is for you. If it's taking a walk, a swim, a yoga, a bicycle ride, lifting weights, I don't care what it is, whatever your thing is, go dancing. Do something for yourself because that really increases your self-worth and the value, and people will feel it. So that's a huge component of what I teach. It's massive. And then I think the last one is trust your intuition. You know, you have this innate wisdom. And if you feel funny about something, feel off, like I'm not sure about that person or this opportunity or this project. Listen to that, you know, take some time, pause. There's no rush. I often say in business, most of us, I'm going to say most of us here, we're not saving babies. There's no rush. You can take a little time. It's okay. You know, but listen to your intuition because usually you know, when you move forward in a way against your intuition, it's you usually regret it. You have some sort of remorse about what unfolded. So listen to that intuition, and that really plays into the body piece. If you take care of yourself, your intuition will be more spot on as
Yeah, that's great advice. And I always think of intuition too as like we have so many ideas all the time that are like constantly barraging our brain, right? I know I do. It's just like sometimes it's hard to just shut it off. But with the intuition part, you know, we do have so many ideas and all these things. And I think the second half of that is also know when you got an ugly baby, right? And get rid of the ugly baby, not a real baby. I'm just saying the, you know, when you have all these ideas you feel like, man, that was a great idea yesterday, and then you're something's telling you not to do it, and you do it anyway. I mean, just know when to take that idea out behind the barn and put a bullet in it. That's all.
Exactly. It's okay to let things go. It's okay to stop things. It's okay. I mean, that is one thing that I have. I don't really care what people think about me. I have a good reputation because I have integrity, but I don't care if I decided to quit all of this and do something else because I was called to do it. I would, and I wouldn't care. And I think that's a big part is like that, you know, some people are afraid of letting go of that ugly baby because they're scared of judgment of others. What are people going to say? You know,
Keep.
and it doesn't matter. Most people don't really care, to be
Yeah,
honest. Like,
you
let go
just
of the ugly baby.
right. Can't just. It's only so many sticks of lipstick you can put on that
Yeah. It's a good one. I mean, I see a lot of people trying to stick with something and they're not making any money. And dude, like just let it go. Do the thing that you're really good at instead. Even though you want to do this other thing, if it's not working, it's not working. It's okay.
Yeah, that's right. Go do something else for sure. Yep, focus on what is working, not what's not working.
I mean, I've had to do that in my own business. You know, there's
Sure.
been a variety of things that I've sold over the years, but when I do the analysis, it's very clear I'm supposed to help people make money, period.
Right.
Like it's like the flashing lights. I would have never chosen to be a business coach in terms of that's not what I thought I would end up doing. But it's what I've done over and over and over, the most successful and what I'm good at. And so, and I do love it, but I didn't like go to business school or grow up with entrepreneurial family or anything. I would have never thought that I would be the one doing this. I thought I would be like in the Peace Corps or something. You know, so but I've listened to the signs and followed it, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, for sure. I wasn't in the Peace Corps, but I spent 23 years in the Army. But so
Well, that'll
that
teach you a few things.
was a whole new meaning of perspective.
Oh yeah, beautiful. That's great to know. I'm glad you shared that, Jason.
It's like anything else, moments of chaos splattered with some fun. No different in business, right? So that's why I call it the war room. Business is war.
Absolutely.
So
Fun.
anyway, well, awesome stuff. How do you want people to try to connect with you, to work with you, chat with you, whatever the case may be?
If you want to speak to me directly, have a conversation, connection, learn more, talk about business, talk about life, you can go to speak with Lila, Lila, speakwithlila.com. And if you want to check me out, my website is the Lila, Lila, Veronica, the Lila Veronica .com.
Pretty easy to remember that. For sure. Cool. Well, the splash question of the show, right, is, and just kind of closing things down, is, if you could have invited anybody here today, Leela, any given point of time, dead or alive, doesn't matter, who would have you loved to have here and why them?
My grandmother,
Mm.
my grandma Aggie,
Grandma
she
Aggie.
was hilarious. She was kind of like this blonde bombshell, ditzy woman. Always said funny things, like nonstop funny things coming out of her mouth. And she passed away before I started, being online, doing podcasts, speaking a bunch, all of this stuff. But I'll tell you what, if I would have had her on with me, people would be cracking up. You know, so if I could have, brought anybody on, it would have been my grandma Aggie
That's
because
awesome.
she just was a riot.
My grandpa was like that too. He was just a, it's funny because I had Joe Foster on the show about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I suppose. Now it's been, the young kids wouldn't even know who that is. But Anyway, I said, well, you know, what contributed you to being so successful with Reebok, right? And he said, well, three things. You got to have fun. You got to have more fun. And it has to be an absolute hoot.
Oh.
That was his answer. I was just like,
Wow.
I don't even know what to say about
Love that. Love it. Love
that.
it.
Oh, anyway. Well, gosh. Well, thank you for being on, Leela. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I always say we all have the same 168 hours a week. Thanks for stopping by here for 31 and spending time with us and our audience today in the war room.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate you.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to War Room Moments with your host, Jason Miller. Please leave your feedback and visit strategicadvisorboard.com to get the latest and greatest business advisement on the planet. Follow us on social media for updates, and we'll see you on the next episode.